You're listening to the Yes, I'm Still Sober podcast with John Rabin.
All right. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Yes, I'm Still Sober podcast. This is John Rabin, and this is episode 127. Recorded on December 2nd, 2020, and this is my second time recording this. I tried to start recording. I was doing it for a little bit, and then I stopped, and then just deleted all that, because I was just sitting there kind of being irritated and worried, dealing with looking for a job and some money issues, and it was like this, and I started, you know, and then having to put everything on hold that I was doing to record a podcast. And I was just like, I can't do this. No, I'm going to do it. And then I did it. And it was just kind of like forced. And really, and you could really hear just like the woe is me kind of in my throat. And then I paused it. Took a break, came back and went, all right, we're not going to do that. We're going to delete that. Because it's weird how that occurs, at least for me, is where it's just kind of this cloud of dread is over your head. And that's unintentional rhyming. I didn't plan that. But it's just one of those things where, like, just the worry and the concern where nothing's really changed from like what happened yesterday, but today, suddenly, you know, everything's scary and what are we going to do? And it's all in my head, you know, it's like, okay, now I've got to really, instead of doing your routine job searching, you have to really buckle down and look, because the unemployment benefits provided to you because of the pandemic stuff is running out. You know, it's coming down to the wire, and it makes you freak out. So that's what was going on. And, you know, and then I had some news and some other things that I was doing that all just kind of came to a head. And it's weird how it seems just kind of like a big problem. Like everything's going to, you know, what's going to happen? And oh shit, oh no. And then it kind of goes away. Like if you write it out. And I think what that reminds me of in relation to like recovery, it's the whole idea of trying to think things through and not to act irrationally on the fear and on, you know, what's on your emotions. Try to think it through or let it ride itself out before you go and do something rash, like go out and drink, go out and use, that kind of a deal. And it's really, because those moments seem really real to you, especially if you're, you know, if you're an addict or an alcoholic, it's really, it's like, oh, you know, it's the easy out when everything's coming down on you and you're like, oh fuck, what am I going to do? You know, I've got to escape. I hate this feeling. Whatever I've got to do, I've got to stop feeling like I'm feeling right now. And then you go and try to take care of it. That's what it kind of reminded me of, especially since it kind of went away there. Like it's still there a little bit, but like the severity of everything weighing on me, like the weight kind of lifted a little bit. So it's more like, I'm kind of, you know, I'm concerned. I should take care of that. I'm going to, there's some things I need to do. Like once the panic subsides, then I was able to kind of sit there and go, all right, so this isn't great, but you've been through worse. You used to work part-time while living in a sober house after getting out of jail where you stayed for 6 months. This is significantly better than that. In fact, you've got money saved, Johnny. Like, it's like you've got money saved, you're married to somebody who has a job, and you're working part-time. So it's like, oh no, but come on. Like, really sit there and think about it. It's like, is it the end of the world? Are you going to have to give up coffee or good coffee for less than good coffee? Oh no. You can't mash that with that hazelnut creamer that you keep using. That's probably not good for you. Don't read the ingredients. Don't read it. You don't want to know what's in there. Oh, it's dairy free. That's not a good thing. What's in it? Doesn't matter. That's not something. That's not what we were talking about. Anyway. Once the panic is gone, that's really the big thing. It's like panic. Once that all that is kind of gotten away, like I tend to get, it runs its course, and I almost tend to get like exhausted from feeling that way, and I just get like bored of it, like just tired of it. Like, well, I'm tired of feeling sorry for myself and fretting. I think I'll get about to doing something. So once that goes away, then I just sat down and went, all right, now what do I got to do? All right, let's update the resume. Let's do this. Let's do this. And let's just, go through the steps of what we need to do. So that's what I'm going to do. Look for a new job. And that's basically it. But the big thing is just just getting over that initial time frame to try to calm yourself down, realize that it's all in your head. I mean, that the reality is you've got to look for employment and get out of the situation that you're in during a scary time. But, COVID spiking and all that shit. Once it's just writing it out without doing anything rash. Now, I'm not in danger of relapsing, so that was never on the table, but it did really remind me of that. It's a whole lot of the same kind of thing where you have to reflect back and think about it and just kind of talk yourself down before going into some kind of old pattern, behavioral pattern of using or doing something that's self-destructive behavior. That your thoughts are not real. You let it pass, and then you kind of, it's like a temporary insanity. And once that's gone, you're like, wow, I was kind of losing it there for a second, but I'm doing all right now. That's cool. And it's always cool to come down from that and feel better and go, wow, man, I was kind of losing it there for a second. And it feels like a little victory when you realize, when you get through it and you're like, hey, I didn't do anything stupid. And that's usually my MO. It's like, let's change the way I'm feeling. Damn the consequences kind of thing. You do that for 2 decades and then finally go, there's got to be a better way. And there is. All right. So, my wife and I, at a wedding, one of our wedding gifts was a Texas-sized waffle iron. Texas waffle iron. It's shaped like the state of Texas. It's made by a company in Texas. It's as big as Texas. I don't know. There's a whole lot of pro-Texas shit all over the box. But it's a dream that was realized. I posted that on Instagram. My Instagram is at smokepuppet, if you're curious. And it was, it was a dream that my wife has had, truthfully, probably longer than we've been engaged. I don't know if it's I don't know if it's as big of the dream as she had of getting married. But she certainly talked about it about the same amount. Some would consider that concerning. I understand it, though. They were good goddamn waffles. What's interesting about it, what I learned, is when you make the batter for the waffles, you have to make sure it's spread evenly when it cooks. Otherwise, it's only kind of shaped like Texas, and you cut off parts of the panhandle and the boot, some of the valley, which most Texans would go, yeah, that's fine. Oh, no, we don't have... You cut off Brownsville, El Paso, and Amarillo. I think we'll be okay. We're still good. Better, actually. We're actually better. No offense to you guys. I'm just saying that there's a lot of people in Texas who feel that way. But I personally want to make sure that the waffle is complete and that you get all of the boot, all of the panhandle, and all of the thingy on the left. I don't know what that's called. So that was a positive. On the negative side of mind fucking myself about money, the positive side is I ate waffles this weekend. Also, what's going on right now is I was so concerned about money today that I forgot that currently, right now, like while I'm recording right now, there's an NFL game going on in the middle of the fucking day after it being postponed like three different times. And it's funny. It's not funny, but it's weird. It's weird. It's like, are you ready for some football at 2:30 p.m. Central Standard Time? Yes. Am I? But the reason that it was put in the afternoon is because NBC, who does Sunday night football, all right? So it gets rescheduled. Finally, they have to do it on Wednesday, but NBC goes, you can't have prime time. We're doing the tree lighting ceremony at Rockefeller Center. We are not bumping that for your little game. And for NFL fans, that's mind-boggling. It's like, what? Wait, so tree lighting ceremony gets top billing over the Ravens versus the undefeated Steelers? And the answer is yes. There's way more people interested in the tree lighting at the Rockefeller Center. Especially now. It's like, no, we're going to watch this and get kind of the spirit and the distraction. And I personally don't understand. You know, I would rather see a primetime game, NFL game. Honestly, I'd rather have an NFL game every night. That's just me. But I'm not going to be stupid and go, I can't understand why people would watch a tree. I get it. I get why. I don't get it. I get why that's more popular. So that's what's going on. I totally forgot about that. I'm like, well, I'll get done with the podcast just in time to take a short nap, because I got a nap. I got to be honest with you. I'm exhausted. I'm exhausted from thinking, which is a weird... I hate that exhaustion. At least exhaustion from like working and doing some physical exercise. You're like, oh, I just need to rest for a little bit. But when you're just exhausted from mind fucking yourself, that's the worst. That's like a solid... You really need a nap for that shit. So I need to maybe... So once I do that... Maybe I can catch the end of the fourth quarter and go, and both teams I don't care for. So it's like, that's fine. So I got that to look forward to. Oh boy. Okay. So you know what? I'm going to get out of here, but you know what the thing that I like doing this every week, even when I really didn't want to today. Really wanted to just go, no, I'll just post a little something and say, I don't feel like it, or whatever. But that doesn't... seems a bit pussy. No, I think what I like about it is that, you know, even the weeks that I just kind of talk shit for 30 minutes or whatever and don't really get into talking about recovery or sobriety-related stuff, still makes me feel good. Still makes me feel like I got the venom out of me in a hopefully entertaining fashion for you guys. But when I'm thinking about it, like the little blurb earlier when I was just kind of discussing how I felt and getting over that temporary insanity that comes with that kind of panic, that kind of thought process when it comes to addiction or just in general with mental health and that kind of thing and anxiety. But I enjoyed this way more than going to a meeting. And that's just me. I don't go to meetings, which I've said before. Even though I've done the 12-step programs for many years on and off when I was half-ass attempting to quit doing drugs, and also when I was forced to by the by probation and that sort of thing. But there's always been a thing that got to me about being around AA people, and I kind of realized it's a lot like people who practice meditation and Zen, which I dabbled in and still do, but I've been around those kind of people too. And I grew up religious. My dad was a Southern Baptist minister. And so I grew up in the church. And the thing is, there's a similar vein in recovery and in church and in like that Zen world. And what it is all in all three groups, really, there's you're trying to aspire for a higher level of blah, whatever. Like there's a thing that you're looking for that you're trying to get to. Like you're trying to get to something that where you get not like a fulfillment. Yeah, like just happiness or fulfillment of some kind. And so it's like a goal, and it's not a competition at all. But we turn it into one. You know, I'm holier than you, or my meditation is way more Zen than your meditation. My Zen is better than your Zen. Or in sobriety, I am better, my recovery is more strong, is stronger than your recovery. And we do that. We end up doing that because it's probably just human nature. But because we turn that into a competition, which it shouldn't be, it should be about your own personal fulfillment. Because of that, what happens is then you have people who pretend that they're further along in their path than they are, that they're further, that they've accomplished more, that they're way more whole, like they're way holier. You know, their Christianity's going really well, or their sobriety and their recovery is going really well. So they pretend to be even happier, or they pretend to be more Zen. You know, like, man, my meditation, let me tell you how clear my mind gets. So you see people meditate where they're kind of sitting a certain way and they're holding their hands. Like they look really like they're, ooh, look at that professional meditator guy. You know, ooh, look at him. He Instagrams pictures of himself meditating in places, which how are you going to meditate and also take a photo? I don't know. You know, honey, take a photo of me while I'm breathing, so I can put it on Instagram and everybody can see how Zen I am. And it's just fake as fuck. And I think that's the thing that derives, but that's what you get. That's where you get that fake bullshit from. That's where you pick up on, oh, these motherfuckers. That's when when you get the really pious people, like in a church or whatever, that you feel like they're judging you and they're acting like they're better than you, and they're not. And you can tell that they're not because it's really, really shallow and fake, and you can tell. And that's why people get turned off by some churches and some groups. That's why people get turned off from meditation, like in a group, you know, because some people just like, oh, I don't want to be that motherfucker right there. But I also think that's why people don't like a lot of 12-step groups, because of bad examples. And it's easy to forget that just because those people are assholes doesn't mean that what the actual concept of what they're pretending to be good in or participate in doesn't mean that sucks. It just means that they suck. And so that, you know, that like all of like recovery and 12-step isn't bad. Whatever your recovery is, you know, you find your own path. You know, religion isn't bad. You know, if it makes you a better person, it's a good thing. Like if it makes you better, how can that thing be bad? And it's real. But I found it interesting that all three of those things, it's all like the same. The flaw in all of it's all is like all the same. And it's having to do with somebody feels like they're not, that they should be at a, like they think it's like a ladder, and they feel like they like suddenly it's a, you know, it's a corporation. You know, Christianity or 12 steps of corporation. Like, I got to be better. I got to be higher up. You know, I'm still at entry level and I should at least be middle management in my religion, in my faith. And that's not how it works. It's like you should feel, does it make you happy? And then you should just be happy. If you're not happy, then don't act like you're happy if you're not happy. And what was I getting at? Oh, but the whole point is that I enjoy talking about stuff on the podcast because, well, for one, you're not talking back, so no interrupting, so it's all about me, and that feels great. But also, it feels more legit that I can be honest and I can feel, like, genuine, and I don't have to deal with that, with being uncomfortable and being around people that are kind of judgy and fake. And it feels more productive. And I think that's what I was getting at, is that it's just, I enjoy things that are genuine, and I think most people should do. So I appreciate it. Thank you, guys. I'm getting the fuck out of here. I'm definitely going to go take a nap. But I'm in a good place. I feel great about being married, I'll tell you that. I feel it's like, fuck yeah. You know, things are going to, I will find a job, a full-time job. Oh, I'm going to. Things are going to be all right. You guys hang in there. Hope you're doing okay. If you need to email me, stillsoberpod@gmail.com. If you need to send any emails. Otherwise, we'll see you next week. This has been the Yes, I'm Still Sober podcast. I'm John Raven. Later.